Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips to faithfully proclaim your word, and may your word be woven into the very fabric of our hearts, our souls, and our lives. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. When I was growing up, for whatever reason, my family did something by a lake, whether it was my dad, my brother, and I going fishing, which, sorry to say, Dad, I never like fishing. I got my line caught in the tree above me more than it went into the lake, so there you go. Whatever reason we were at the lake, one of the things I like to do besides fishing is I love to skip stones in the lake. And boy, did I feel like I was proud of myself if I got to get that stone to skip three or more times. I use this activity of skipping a stone in a lake as a metaphor to illustrate the change that happens in our lives that can be felt kind of as a ripple effect, just as a stone skips and skips and skips. You see the ripples in the water. Small actions can lead to bigger actions and changes, even if you can't see how far they can reach. Like when a pebble is dropped into water, it causes ripples. Our words, actions, and feelings affect those around us, who in turn affect individuals who come into contact with them, and so on. And so our lives count, whether for good or for ill or somewhere in between. No one can dispute how our actions affect and impact each other. And in Proverbs 11, we see this ripple effect of the outcomes of both the righteous and the wicked. And once again, it is seen in the language of contrast between the righteous and the wicked. So my first point is the contrast between the righteous and wicked as evidenced in how they share with those in need around them. Proverbs 11, 18 and verses 24 through 26 says this, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it." The reward here is spoken of both what can be considered either material or spiritual rewards. But the principle is the lasting value of the rewards of both the righteous and the wicked. These verses make the general point that the generous, righteous man is blessed, while the miserliness and the stinginess of the wicked person leads to ruin. Whether or not they are generous with those in need is an indicator of whether, in the words of Jesus' summary of the law, do you love your neighbor as yourself? True, genuine faith in God will issue forth in genuine love for our neighbor. You cannot separate the two. If you love God, you shall love your neighbor. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The righteous are described as generous to those in need. And I think it is both a statement describing what the righteous are like, but also giving us a challenge to be generous and what we need to aspire toward. In other words, if you think you need to be more generous, not just materially with the money you give to the poor, but also generous in our use of our time, our gifts, and sharing the gift of salvation with those who are spiritually in need, those in spiritual poverty. And that includes every member of the human race. At the same time, we need to say, hold in tension these two things. The righteous are generous, but they also need to aspire to be generous more and more. And so we need to cry out for God's mercy to help us see the needs of those around us. And again, I'm talking to a middle class or upper middle class neighborhood. But we all need Jesus Christ. And so the tricky thing is, a person can look like they have it all together and they're well provided for and be the most impoverished person around because they don't know Jesus. I'm stating as a general principle, and yet it is up to each one of us to flesh out what it means to be generous in my life and in your life. And at the same time, I don't think we can answer specific questions like what to do with those who want money at the intersection of Route 40 and North Rolling Road from just a general principle that we need to be generous. I'm not trying to be tricky. It's a complicated issue because we have to really ask the real basic question, what do they need? Do they need immediate physical care like food, clothing, and shelter? Do they need job training, which is a lot more complicated? Or do they need to be able to get to the resources of financial assistance, whether publicly funded government programs or grants from a nonprofit organization? What I'm trying to get us to see is that sometimes generosity is not just the work of one individual. It's a team effort. And you and I cannot solve huge community problems, regional problems, or world problems all by ourselves. So the righteous are generous and willing to share, while the wicked hold on to their own possessions and are refusing to share with those in need. That brings me to my second point, which is the contrast between the righteous and wicked, evidenced by their motivations. Proverbs 11, 19 through 21 says this, "He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. Assuredly, the man who will not go unpunished, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered." The way of righteousness and evil worked out in specific details in many sayings in this chapter are painted with broad strokes. The underlying principle explained in Deuteronomy 30, which speaks of the blessing for those who obey God and His covenant, and the curses, the consequences of not being faithful to the Lord, but instead turning away from His covenant with His people. Proverbs 11:19 speaks of the righteous and those who are evil include the order of the world created by God and discerned by experience. The second half of Proverbs 11:19 speaks of the one who pursues evil who will bring about his own death. And it is a sobering reminder of human responsibility. If a person persists in doing wrong and pursuing evil, only he is to blame. He is his worst enemy. And since no one forced him to do that which was wrong, but he does so out of the corruption of his own heart, he continually chooses to seek evil. The legal terminology of the evil man In Proverbs 11:21 says that he will not go unpunished. And this speaks of God's judgment upon him, not just natural retribution. In the same way, the righteous will be delivered. And in that shows the mercy of God, because God delivers us and enables us to escape his judgment by providing salvation through Jesus Christ. Here we see that the righteous will be blessed and the wicked will be punished. It must be noted that the timing of this blessing and this judgment is not specified in the verse. For we know that at times the righteous prosper in this life. They're wealthy and some are rich. And it is not always that the righteous are rewarded in this life, for they, like anyone else, suffers trouble. So the reward of the righteous or the wicked do not always happen in this life, but it is assured that in the next life there will be both perfect justice and perfect salvation for God's people. So the righteous hope for fulfillment in the kingdom of God, and this expectation is real because it's based on the faithfulness of God's promises. On the other hand, the ungodly is energized by hoping in this fallen world for the rewards in this life. And in that, he will certainly be disappointed. Notice the most ironic, at least in my opinion, the most ironic and shocking verse in this passage is Proverbs 11:2. It's painful to read it. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is the beautiful woman who lacks discretion. If we really wanted to be inclusive about this verse, let me paraphrase it just a little bit. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a handsome man who lacks discretion. Lack of discretion isn't limited to one sex or the other. Guys, as well as gals, who lack discretion, well, fill in the rest of the blank. They're like a ring of gold in a swine's snout. The wicked person is building up his life and depending on these fleeting goals of either possession or beauty, both of which is extremely fleeting. I know, whenever I look up at a picture of myself 40 years ago, yep, I've changed. I don't look the same way. And yet the motivation of those, I think, who continually get one facelift after another and get more Botox, you're not going to look like you're 30 forever. It ain't happening. And sometimes I feel sorry for those who have repeatedly got one facelift after another, because more doesn't mean better. Sometimes they look worse than if they had left it all alone. Since this world is perishing, all those who trust in the things of this life will surely be disappointed. And in that sense, they exhibit their foolishness. And again, God in his wisdom and in his mercy is urging us, be wise and not foolish. Be believing and trusting in the Lord and not wicked or evil. Proverbs 11:27 goes on to say this, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. Earlier in the book of Genesis, God warns Cain right before he murders his brother this warning. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. God, in his mercy, warns Cain of the perils of not paying attention to his own sinful passions to murder his brother. But Cain pays no attention to that warning and rushes ahead, being mastered by his sinful bent of violence and hatred toward his brother. In the words of Proverbs 11:27, he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. Solomon concludes chapter 11 with this verse in verse 31. If the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more will the wicked and the sinner? 1 Peter 4:18 seems to be quoting Proverbs 11:31 when Peter says this, and if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? 1 Peter 4:18 is seen by many Bible scholars as Peter quoting from the Septuagint translation of Proverbs 31, which is slightly different from what I just quoted. That says, if the righteous man is scarcely saved, then where shall an ungodly man and a sinner appear? The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, and while its translation is somewhat different than many English translations, the main point still remains the same, that while the righteous make it through this life with their faith in God intact, what will happen to the man who does not hope in God and who departs this life never having entrusted themselves to the Lord? So the righteous man suffers according to the will of God, but this verse urges him to constantly commit himself to God and to his faithfulness. But the persecutor of the righteous will receive his recompense in due time. The outcomes of the righteous and the wicked are polar opposites, because the one group of people humbly received God's gift of salvation, and the fruit of that salvation was evident in their life. And at the same time, those who spurn God, his gift of salvation, and his gifts in this life, and ignored the needs of their neighbor, trouble will come upon them. May God give us grace to love him with all that we have, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would fill us by the Holy Spirit to pursue righteousness and integrity. Help us to seek your good gifts and your virtues. Help us, O Lord, to be a people who are generous to those in need and share your good gifts, your gracious gift of salvation, the gift of friendship, and to seek to give to others and to receive from others where we lack. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.